Let's pray. Father, thank you for the gift of this new life that we can sing that because Christ came, Lord, we are now made alive. We are now made new, forgiven, beloved, holy, because of the work of Jesus. Lord, may that not just be great ideas and great concepts, but Lord, may you press that through the fabric of our beings, that we may not just know it to be true, but Lord, we feel it to be true as well. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. I'd like to welcome you all this morning. For those of you who were a little late this morning, you missed out on the special offer. Sorry about that. You'll have to find out what it was from somebody else. We are in the middle of a season of Advent and a series on Christmas that I'm calling Behind the Curtain. We all know this, the Christmas story, right? If you've been around church, even as a young child, you know the story of Christmas. Now, I know that there's more and more people out in our culture who have no idea what the story of Christmas is. But for us who are here, that we know the story. And it's real easy for us to allow the story just to kind of become eclipsed and move to the shadows of our thinking because it's become so well known. But I want to be able to part the curtains and look behind the meaning of Christmas and have a more robust understanding of what Christmas is all about. Last week we asked the question, who is this God that behind the whole story of Christmas? And we talked about the Trinity. This morning, I want us to ask the question, why does this God, this Trinitarian God, care about humanity, care about them so much that he would send Emmanuel, his son, to live among us and to die for us? What is it about us that makes us so special to him? Not to one another. I know you're all special to one another. But what makes us special to God? That's what I want to be able to dive into this morning. One evening, David is in his very happy place. How many of you have a happy place? Okay? We all do, right? How many of you have a happy place up in the mountains? Steve, I know you do. Okay? In fact, that's where his mind's going right now, okay? Chasing that elusive buck, okay? We all have our places where that we just kind of sit back and we rest and we say, yes, I'm in my happy spot. David had a happy spot. And it wasn't in the palace in Jerusalem, but it was out underneath the stars in the fields. He refers to this so many times. And one evening, he's in this happy place, and I imagine him laying out on the grass, and he's gazing into the night sky, and he's overwhelmed with emotion, and he's pondering this question. In Psalm 8, he writes it out, O Lord, our Lord, and you cannot read that without feeling his emotion, okay? He is overwhelmed with a sense of awe, the absolute sovereign majesty of the God who he serves and who he loves. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all of the earth. It's filled with emotion. And then he goes and he says, man, creation is speaking to me. He says, you have set your glory in the heavens. When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have hung in place. What is mankind, what is humanity, that you are even mindful of him? Because God, compared to what I see in the stars of the heavens, we are insignificant in comparison. What is mankind that you are even mindful of him? But then he takes it up a notch and he says, human beings, that you would even care for them. Not only is he mindful of them, but he cares about us and he cares for us. What is it about us? It's a great question. To be able to answer this question, we must go back to a very familiar but yet robust passage in Scripture. Back to the beginning in Genesis chapter 2, the version of creation that we read there. At the end, God has created everything. And then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. You know, in all of creation, of nothing else will this ever be said. That God formed them out of the dust of the ground and breathed into their nostrils the breath of life. And they became a living being. Of nothing else has this ever, ever been said. Nothing else. And this is my point I want us to remember this morning. That God created humanity. God created humanity from dirt. Okay? We're all from dirt. Everybody say, I'm of dirt. For glory. Yes. God made us from dirt for glory. Of nothing else can this ever be said. We're special. We started out as dirt, but God had a much larger idea that he wanted to accomplish, that he wanted to see happen for us. Not that we would just continue to be of dirt, but that we would become a glorious being. So he breathed into us the breath of life. Genesis chapter 1 gives us a little bit more detail. Again, all of creation has been created, and then God comes to one last piece. And it was going to be his crowning achievement. And we read about it in Genesis 1. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image." We talked about the significance of the plurality there. "But let God make us in our image and in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them four times, count them, four times he says, "You are made after his image." And nothing else can this be said. The image of God. Now what's his point? His point is this: we were made from dirt for what? Glory. And the glory is found in his image that he gave to us. Now, it's not a physical image. God doesn't look like me or like Roger or like Tamina. He doesn't look like us. But it's something much more profound than one's physical appearance. But we were made from dirt for glory. But Martin, I feel more like dirt than I do glory. Right? Anybody ever feel that way? Sometimes you feel more like dirt than glory. And there's a reason for that, but we're going to talk about that next week. Why we feel more like dirt than glory. But what does it mean to be made in the image of God? To be made from dirt for what? What does that mean? Starts out in this way. That we are made, that we have infinite value to God and to creation. Now, this value that we have is not earned. It's not based upon your smarts. It's not based upon one's talent. It's not based upon one's accomplishments, one's good behavior, one's good looks, or one's body shape. Okay? That's not what gives us our value. That's not what the essence is of our glory that God has given to us. Our value, our glory, is granted to us by God. God gives humanity a degree of value that no other part of creation is granted. And I would dare say this includes your dog and your cat. Okay? We are different. We are different. We have a glory that even the Shorts cat doesn't have. That even my son's former dog does not have. Doc. And that dog was glorious, all right? The one before her, not so much. Her name was Mercy, but that's a story for next week when I talk about sin. All right? But Martin, do you mean that my dog and my cat or my bird or my hamster or my gerbil has lesser value than people? Because I love my pets a whole lot more than I do people. Ever feel that way? We all do at different points. But David goes on in Psalm 8, verse 4, "What is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? For you made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, and you crowned him with glory and honor." And I love the imagery of this. It's like you're going to a coronation ceremony of the King of England. And he's being crowned as the king of an entire nation. And the crown is placed upon his head. And all of a sudden, people begin to bow. That's the imagery that David has. And he's looking up at the skies and looking at the magnitude of creation, the beauty and the voice of creation that is speaking to him. And he says, "Why have you crowned us with what?" What's that? Glory and honor. God says, "You're of incredible value to me. Infinite value. Infinite value. But because we have this infinite value that we've been crowned with, this glory and this honor, we are also given unsurpassed dignity. An unsurpassed dignity. We have an infinite value and an unsurpassed dignity. This is why we are commanded in Scripture to treat people with value, to treat all human life from conception till death, regardless of age and stage and race and religion, economics, mental capacity, whatever it is, that we treat them with value, that we must treat all people with dignity and respect with our words, with our actions, with our thoughts, and with our attitudes. Because we are crowned with glory and honor. We may have been made from dirt, but we are made for what? Glory. This is why we treat people with unsurpassed dignity. This is why the Scriptures call out things like prejudice. Prejudice that we may hold against others. In James chapter 2, James writes this, and he confronts these people that he's very familiar with. He says, "My brothers and sisters, do not show prejudice if you possess faith in our Lord Jesus Christ." Why? If you possess faith. If you possess faith, you know better. Because you know that God made us from glory, from dirt, for what? And if someone has been crowned with glory and honor, you do not have prejudicial thoughts, actions, and words towards something that's been crowned with glory and honor. We may focus on the dirt, but that's not what our Father focuses on, right? So stop focusing on the dirt. And there may be some of us who have a lot of dirt to focus on that we get distracted by. But God says, focus on the glory. Don't be prejudicial against other people. And when that happens, you call it out. And we don't hold people with contempt, with anger and disregard. James says in chapter 3, verse 9, with the tongue we praise our Lord and our Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. That's the image. That's the glory. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be the case. Why? Because we have infinite value and unsurpassed dignity, and it doesn't matter who they are, what they've done, what they haven't done. We treat people with dignity. And when we don't, we call each other out. So therefore, as you write your posts on Facebook or Instagram, keep that in mind, even if they are our political leaders. Because believe it or not, our political leaders have glory. Now, some of them bury it a little deep. I get that. But they are people made in the image of our God. That's who they are. That is their identity. See, prejudice and contempt will always war against our glory and our honor. And when it does, it dehumanizes people. It strips them of the glory of their humanity. We are made in His image. We have incredible value. We have great dignity. That's what it means to be made in the image of God. That's what it means to be crowned with glory and honor. But that's not all it means. It's not just about the essence of who we are, but it's about our capacity to be and to do. It's about our capacity to be and to do. And I'm just going to touch on some of these. But there's an immense capacity that we have for relationship. Relationship first and foremost with God, our Creator, the one who crowned us with what?
Glory.
An immense capacity for relationship with our Father. And it started in the Garden of Eden when God walked with Adam and Eve. And I would love to have been there. I would have loved to have gone on those pathways. I would have loved to have heard the conversations. I would have loved to be able to laugh with God. I would have been able to love to joke with Him. Not use sarcasm. We learned last week sarcasm is not good. But to be able to enjoy just that time, I would have loved to have been able to be able to ask questions. I would have loved to have been able to feel His delight in me. And that's what they were able to experience. But that hasn't changed. God still longs to be able to walk with us in those ways. And it may be a little bit more challenging, a lot more challenging. It may be more obscured, but that doesn't mean His heart has changed. We have changed, but His heart has not. That's why in Psalm 116, my verse for the last 2 months, Psalm 116:2 says, He bends His ear to hear us. And I have this image of me getting down on my hands and knees with Elizabeth, my youngest granddaughter, and just trying to hear what it is she's saying. He bends His ear towards us. In Psalm 27, David writes, He said, God, seek Your face, that sense of intimacy, that sense of being together. You said, seek Your face, therefore I will seek Your face. Why? Because God says You have an immense capacity for relationship with me. Of nothing else is that ever said in all of creation. And it's because God cares about this relationship, because we are made with glory and honor. He brought us into this. We have an immense capacity for relationship with others. We long to connect with people. Over the years, I've received a lot of notes from people about different things. Sometimes they are anonymous, sometimes they are not. Most of the time they're anonymous, especially if they tend to be on the more negative side. Can you believe that? Somebody would write me a negative note? I know, it blows my mind. No one here, they all left, but no one here, I'm sure, would ever write me a negative note. But one morning after service, I walked into my office and there was a note that was on my desk. And it was written by a visitor that morning, a young lady, and she wrote on this note, she says, "Good morning. I came on this morning and no one spoke to me except for another visitor, and no one spoke to her either." Now, we may be a bit shocked by that and a bit, well, how dare she write such a note? But why is that even important? Why is that even important? Why would someone write this? And this is the reason. It's because we were created to connect with people. We were created not just to be a part of a friendly environment, but we were created as a result of the glory and the honor of which we have been crowned. We have been created by our Creator to connect with one another, to be able to establish ourselves in a community, right? Believe it or not, people don't come to this church simply because I'm preaching. I know. How crazy is that, right? People come so that they can hopefully connect in community. People come so that they might connect in community. That they would not just come and be a part of a friendly place, but they would come and be a part of a place where they can be friends, where they can know and be known, where people delight in them, where they can be delighted and they can delight in others. That's why people come, right? That's the essence. Now, it's not the only reason they come. They come because Brian is such an amazing associate pastor, right? That's why they come too. But it's important for us to know that as challenging as maybe as raw as that might rub us, the reality of what she wrote, she is just being who God created her to be. To long for what God created her to long for, and that was to connect with others. Now, I want us to think about, look at the people around you, okay? Just take a moment, take your eyes off me, look at the person around you, and then, yeah, just don't talk to them, Larry. I'm talking now, it's all about me, all right? Realize that everyone here comes with a story, and it's not the one they're telling. Everyone here comes with a longing to say, how can I connect with people? How can I connect with people? How can I hopefully receive a word of life? A word of blessing. And I want us to be able to come here on these mornings and be able to say, not just how can I connect with people, but how can I give others a blessing? How can I have an open-hearted attitude towards others, to connect with them, to be a blessing to them? That's community. That's community. That's what God has created us for. But it's not just here, it's out there. It's not just while we are here, it's as we go from here. So I want you to be courageous. And I want you to start asking yourself the question, especially on a Sunday morning, because this is the one place where we all gather together, but how can I go outside of my comfort zone and greet someone and find a way in which to bless them, even in just a little way? How it might be that you ask them out for coffee, you ask them out for lunch. It might be whatever. It could be any number of things. How can I pray for you? The challenge that we have is that as a culture, we are finding it more and more difficult to connect with people. There's been studies that are being written about right now that because of all of our social media interaction, that has become our primary way of connecting with people, but you don't connect with people. Do you know how many Facebook friends I have who I'm really not friends with? To have Facebook friends, Don, you got to be on Facebook. But there is just this challenge that we have of, I don't know how to connect with people face to face anymore. I don't know how to greet a newcomer. I don't know how to be with a newcomer. We struggle with that now. What do we talk about? If I walk up to someone I don't know, what happens if I forget their name? It happens to me all the time.
When you're up front.
When I'm up front. Like John said. It happens all the stinking time. You just say, sorry. Sometimes I call my wife Sue. And you should see me with my kids. It just happens. But we get so preoccupied with ourselves and it takes the focus off of others. And we don't know how to be with others. But yet that was the very place that we were created to be, is with others. Not through a screen in front of us, but through a person who is before us. A person who was made from dirt for glory. A person who has been crowned with glory and honor. That's what we are made for. So I want to challenge us. Who can I connect with today as you leave this morning? Don't just rush out because you're nervous. I used to stand in the foyer of my former church and think, what happens if no one talks to me? I told Kim, I says, let's get out of here as quickly as we can. I used to say just after I started seminary, I says, we can't have someone over for dinner until we first have them over for dessert. Why? Because it scared me to death. What would happen if I ran out of things to talk about? Just kind of hear the clinking of the spoons, you know, against the plates. Awkward, right? That's why I ask so many questions. But you get the point. You get the point. God says, I'm creating you with this incredible relational capacity for relationships. Think about who you can invite over for Christmas. Someone who you don't know, or someone you don't know very well who doesn't have another place to go. I love Joan Wilde. That woman is so concerned about someone being left out. She does such a great job of saying, how can I go and how can I love people this morning? And how can I mobilize other people to love people outside of this morning? Okay? But think about who you can invite over for Christmas or at some point in this season, just to be able to bless them, just to be able to be open-hearted. We are also created with the responsibility for our moral choices. Of nothing else in creation can this be said, that we have the ability to be able to grasp right and wrong and to choose good and bad, and that we are held accountable by our Creator for that. Talk about that more next week. We're also called to a purpose. Of nothing else in creation was ever said. Mercy, my dog, she was created to antagonize me. Doc was created to make me feel loved. No, that's not really true. But my point is of nothing else in creation do they have a purpose, a stated purpose, except for humanity. And as humanity, we are created by God to be co-creators in this world, to make it do what it needs to do. But also, as believers, we are participants and we are partners with God in the kingdom of God. We've talked a lot about this year. I won't belabor that. But also, we have been created as immortal beings, as those who have eternal life. There's a sense within us. There's a sense within us that there's more to life than this life. We were made from dirt for what? That's what all this means. This is why God created us. This is why He cares for us. This is why He sent Emmanuel. But here's the problem. We have shattered our glory. We have shattered our glory. Ecclesiastes 7 says, "This alone have I discovered. God made humankind upright, but they have sought many evil schemes." More on this next week, but we are like a shattered mirror whose pieces are deeply scarred. We have shattered our glory, but here's the good news, folks, and that is we are still created from dirt for glory. We are still, even in our busted up state, even in our state of rebellion, we are still crowned with glory and honor that has never been taken away. We are still created and made in the image of God, the essence of our value. We still have incredible value. We still have immense dignity. We are still created for relationship, responsible for our moral choices, and called to a purpose, even though we have shattered our glory. See, God has never given up on this vision for us, that we would be glorious human beings, that we would live into our glory. God has never given up on this vision for us. Even though we have turned our glory into dirt. That's why He sent Emmanuel to come and to seek that which is lost, that which is broken, that which is marred. And it doesn't matter what kind of dirt we've been rolling in. You were made for glory. And God has crowned us with glory and honor. And that's a huge, huge, huge reminder and importance for us, right? Doesn't matter how you feel about yourself. All that matters is what God says about you. That we are crowned with glory and honor. And God is fiercely committed to restoring this vision within us. And that's why we gather together every week. That's why we meet in small groups. That's why we walk together. It's because there's a restoration process that is taking place within us that is restoring the glory that is ours. The glory that is ours. And God is fierce in reclaiming this vision for us. This is why we talk about identity. God sent Emmanuel for us. He didn't send it for our dog. He didn't send it for our cat. He didn't send it for our bird or our turtle or whatever. He sent Emmanuel for us. That's why we come together each week, right? I have some deeper dive questions for you that are on the app that I encourage all of us to spend some time going through, but here they are. Do you ever feel more guilt and shame? Do you feel more of the guilt and shame from the dirt than you do for the glory and the purposes that God has bestowed on you? And if so, why? And what is it that makes you feel like dirt? We've got to be able to name it. And again, we'll talk more about that next week. How has God dealt with the dirt of your guilt and your shame? Talk about this with other people. And what does His work keeps His work from penetrating your life in a deeper way? And are there people you treat with shame and contempt? Because we all have attitudes, right? We all have times when we have attitudes of prejudice and contempt for other people. So let's name it. Let's call it out. And how can we become a voice of blessing towards others rather than a voice of contempt? And what action steps will you take this week? My hope and my dream is that as we look behind the curtain this Christmas season, folks, that you will see a more robust vision of what our Father is seeking to do in us and through us. That's essential for us. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you, Lord, may you take and may you remind us of the reality of what you created us for. And not just to do something, but Father, to be. To be. For Father, this is why we worship. What is man that you would be mindful of him? That you would even care about him? Father, thank you that you do. That we are more important to you than the created universe. So Father, restore this to our hearts and not just our minds. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Let's all stand.